Friends, just you wait until you hear about this case. This is Amy.
This is E.
And you just pressed play on Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. Today, we are discussing a husband who murders his wife. Bum, bum. A literal woman's nightmare, right?
Yeah.
But murder. Your spouse, yeah, your partner murders you. Hate it. Not a fan. Can you ever trust your partner? We are super skeptical, especially after this case. But we are happy to be here with you. You're here. We're here. First, let's talk about our weekly show and tell.
Yes. Oh, I want to shout out the TikToker that recommended this case for us. And her name is Kawaii Crochet by Jess on TikTok.
Okay.
K-A-W-A-I-I Crochet, which is C-R-O-C-H-E-T. By Jess, and Jess has two S's. Every time I read something like this out loud, I contemplate whether or not I know letters. Is that a K or is that a W? It's definitely a K, guys, but that felt incredibly difficult for literally no reason.
I'm proud of you for making it through, though. You did it.
For a second there, I didn't know.
I wasn't sure it was going to happen.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to have to quit. This is the last episode that I'll be featured on because I cannot read, and hiding it for years at this point.
Oh my gosh, you're actually illiterate and you don't know how to read.
Could you imagine?
Could I personally imagine being literate? No, but I know that I've met folks that are grown-ups that don't know how to read, and...
Have you really? I find that to be incredibly sad, and I don't understand how it happens. Except for if you're in a very bad socioeconomic situation.
And I mean, that's usually when it comes into play is when there's some serious trauma happening.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Okay. So our show and tell this week, this is for people with littles or our caretakers or like your nieces or nephews or whatever small child in your life. And this is key for probably like a 1-year-old.
Okay. And
specifically, My 1.5-year-old has been really enjoying it here lately. Wow. It is a Tony box.
Okay.
And so it's this box, but it's cushioned, and then it, like, sticks, but it doesn't stick, so you can move it, and it's portable, but it's kind of like your sticky thing that goes on the wall, but it's not. So,
it stays grippy stuff on it.
So it's got grippy stuff on the bottom so you can grip it. And then it's got all these like little character and it's like, it's made for kids. So you can knock it over. You can throw it down the stairs. It's literally cushioned.
There's
2 buttons in their ears. So it looks like a little cat. And the one is the on button and it turns the volume up. And then the other side is the off or no, I think it just turns the volume down. I don't know. I think it's the power. And higher volume and then the lower volume, but that's it. There's just 2 buttons and they have all these like little caricatures that you can get and you set the little caricature on top and then it plays songs and or it tells stories. For instance, the 3 wise men just brought Stitch or Renitos and it does Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride, which I now know every single lyric to that. And I really like that song, apparently. So, so it sings like 2 songs. One is Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride, and then there's another song. And then it tells like the little story of Stitch, like a brief, like 10-minute little story. And then it plays like another song or 2. And the cool thing, I mean, one, it's just neat because it's totally screen-free, but then it's telling you a story and it's giving you different songs and it's like that repetition because you know how kids love the repetition. You can completely change it out with different characters and stuff like that. When you take the little character off the thing, it stops playing. When you put the character back on, it starts playing exactly where it left off. So Ren is all like, let me see how many times I can take it off and then put it right back on. And so,
which for you makes you want to scrape your eyes out with a spoon because I cannot with the noise stop and start.
But it's really like because it's music and I play a lot of music in the house anyway. So I almost every day when I wake up, I tell the Googles, because I'm a Google person, not an Alexa person, mm-hmm. I tell the Googles to play classical music, or I tell them to play, I've been really into the Titanic soundtrack here recently. It's been making me rediscover my youth. My mom and I used to listen to the fucking Titanic soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Love.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And there's like a couple other ones, but anyways, like, So I normally am turning on music, or when the kids are upstairs, I just bop upstairs because Aurora likes to listen to music while she's playing and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. I don't know, I think music's good. I like music.
Yeah.
I think it's good for
super
you.
Good for development and like also like regulating your body and your emotion. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it yes and no. And also it is low enough to where if I'm not in the same room, it's not that big of a deal.
Oh, nice.
It's not like the iPads where they can go up to volume 155, gouge out your eyeballs. Like, it is a little bit lower than that. And anyways, you can get all these different accessories and stuff. And so I enjoy it for my 1.5-year-old. We did get it when Aurora was like 4 as a gift from one of her tias. And I will say, at that point, she was too old for it.
Okay.
Not too old for it, but we had already had an iPad. So you kind of want to do it
before they get screens. Yeah, because then it's boring.
Yeah, now Aurora loves it again, and she's playing with it with Ren, and it's perfect to have in, like, the playroom and stuff like that because we don't have a TV in the playroom. Mm. And so, yeah. But I would say that it's definitely a first birthday kind of gift.
Okay. Yeah, it kind of sounds like a real money trap, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
now,
all
the little
these,
things,
like, characters, yeah.
Uh-huh. And you can't sync them all up either, so you have to keep track of all the characters.
Oh, that's the worst for me. But I do love a gift that you can build on. So
yes.
Milo this year just got into Legos, which if you are a Lego parent – let's start a support group because it's a nightmare. You lose
Once
one
you
piece.
Lose, that's it. You can't build that fucking thing anymore.
No.
Yeah.
And you can buy individual Lego pieces, everyone, just in case you were concerned or worried, but it's really hard to get them. You have to pay for shipping. Like, it's not easy. You can't just go to the store and buy a Lego piece, but he's super into Legos. So I really hate people that created these, like, series of Legos, but also I will love them because it's something he can work for. So I imagine that this Tony thing could be similar, where they could collect all their favorite characters. They could do
like
all
the
of their favorite things
too.
Yeah,
yeah,
and this does something, which is nice.
Exactly. So I mean, there you go. Take it, leave it, whatever. But if you need a good gift for a friend's kid, especially if it's more of a natural minded mama or a first time mom, fucking perfect. Get them a Tony box, and we'll link it on Amazon. You can purchase it on Amazon. You can also get it at Target. I know that I've gotten a lot of the little Tonys at Target.
I've seen
and they make
there, yeah.
They make off brands and stuff too. So I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, now I haven't used them, but since we started using our Tony more, some of the off-brands have popped up. I didn't do any research to see how much different of a price it is, but that might be something that you also want to look into, because I think there's one called, like, Storybot or something.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to capitalism. Have
yes,
a great
here
day.
We go.
Should we talk about this case, eh?
Yes, let's talk about this case. I'm excited about it and
excited, but sad. Yeah,
yes.
I had never heard of this case before looking at the notes, so thank you, Jess, for suggesting this case. This is about Noah Gaston, and let's get into it. So he was sentenced to prison for just straight up murdering his wife. His reasoning behind it is super wacky, in my opinion, but their three kids, who are 2, 8, and 9 at the time, were home, which...
Yes.
It's awful. But let's get into the details. So January 2016, Noah and his wife, Alicia, are struggling financially. They're like in their early 30s. Noah's like 33, and I think Alicia
And they
like
have four. Three children.
Three, like, I mean, those, I
they're
guess
small too.
Small kids. Yeah, they're, my kids are about, my kids are about the same age as their two oldest. And I mean, it's still hard. They still need help. It's not easy. And then to throw
and now they're old enough to want to do different activities and things like that. So adding that into that, I don't know about your kids, but Aurora's constantly coming home asking to be signed up for a different activity. Yep. And
all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yes. Or I have to figure out how to tell Aurora, like, because I do try to have the conversations with her, and I think it is kind of important, like, not, oh, we don't have money for that, but be like, hey, mommy and daddy, we work really hard, and yet, like, you do this already, and that's what we can do. So, anyways, back to the kids.
So, Noah was a chef, and he leaves his job, and he's struggling to find another job. Money's tight, makes you grumpy. It's hard. It's just hard. This life is hard, and they are having a hard time. Alicia, she is naturally creative, so she turns her knitting business, or like crocheting, into a business. She starts selling like scarves and hats, which I think is super great. I really appreciate people who have respect for the hustle. I love it. So she starts to do that. She's also one of those people that everybody turns to make their birthday cakes.
So she's like Pinterest mom 100%. Yeah. Like, she is on it. Like, if you need something cutesy, she's probably your gal.
Yeah, and let's be real. That is not my gift, friends. I am not a cake maker. I am not good at designing that kind of things, but I do have some friends that are, and that shit can be priceless. Like, depending on what you need it for, I think it's super great. So yeah, she's really trying to get things to support her family.
They can make decent money too, because like those cakes go for big money.
Well, right, and there are like a few in our community that do that, and it's like a whole gig. Like, and people fight over. It's like insane. It's really crazy. I don't know. I don't personally place that much emphasis on cake, but I get it, and I get why you would want to, and I think it is a demand. There is a demand out there for it, and
every time I see it, I'm like, wow, I would love to have one of those, and then we never do, because I'm like, $150 for a cake,
right? For a cake that we're just gonna eat, right?
Yeah,
exactly. I love it. So she starts to do this. She's really trying to support her family financially. But on top of all of this, she homeschools her kids. What? Stop. You're doing a lot. It's too much, but it's stressful. And I commend people who make that choice to homeschool their kids. That is not my gift. Also, baking cakes and homeschooling my kids are not things I'm going to do, but she does it. But it's also stressful. So even if you make a choice, sometimes it doesn't mean that it's a bad choice. It just means it's a stressful choice. So she's having a hard time. Needless to say, life's not easy. So Alicia has a sister, and she tells this sister that she's considering divorcing Noah. So obviously, on top of these things, things are stressful. Things are maybe not going well in their relationship. So conversations are starting. Now, on January 14th, Noah calls 911 at 6 a.m. and says to the dispatcher, "I just shot my wife in the stomach. I thought she was an intruder."
I could never. I have had friends in my lifetime that are 911 operators or transmitters or whatever, and I just could not. If I got a call like this, my brain would fucking explode. I'd be like, "Sir, I'm sorry, what? You shot your wife? Straight to jail, sir. Straight to jail, sir. What the fuck is wrong with you?
And
what
you have to stay calm." Yeah, you have to stay calm.
You know, like, how are you?
Like, comforting him and, like, walking him through it, because that's your job, and I would be with you. I'd be like, nope, come here, get the handcuffs.
But apparently he's, like, crying, and he seemed pretty distraught. And so that, you know, I think helps in his case. So the dispatcher sent help immediately, and at the same time, the dispatcher is also talking him through CPR. He could be heard counting the chest compressions as he tried to kickstart his wife's heart again, as he tried to realive her. So let's give him that. Like, unless he's a great liar, he did start chest compressions immediately. He called 911 immediately. When you make a mistake of that magnitude, that's, you know, that's what you need to do. He didn't try to cover it up. So the emergency services arrived. They took over. And Alicia was slumped in the stairwell in a pool of her own blood. They were not able to to resuscitate her. So at this point, Noah had murdered his wife. Investigators start looking at the different evidence. They piece together her movements from that morning. She had woken up before dawn, and she had gone downstairs. She started the laundry, and she had written a to-do list. This is all of us, right? This is me. This was me this morning. Like, quite literally the exact same thing.
Well, and here's the other thing that I don't understand. I'm sure that this is not the first time in married life that she's gone downstairs before anybody else woke up. Yeah. So that to me is like not an excuse. Like, she's up early.
Exactly.
So is everybody. Not me. I'm not the early person. But like, Chris is up and he's up every morning. Like, that's his thing. He goes downstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like the morning person. So it doesn't startle me. Like, it wouldn't be like, oh crap, like, he's awake.
Exactly. So in my house, I'm the one that wakes up early. And so, like, if Roberto shoots me on the stairs, like, yes, that is also his problem because his ass should know that I'm fucking, like, that's a norms activity. That's an every single day.
Yes.
This is a normal thing. So in February, a judge ordered a mistrial because the medical examiner abruptly changed his forensic opinion. And he said that the gunshot angle was different than what he had testified to at first. And this was critical to both sides in terms of proving how close Noah was to his wife. Because at this point, Noah is trying to convince everybody that this was an accident. He is saying it was he woke up. He heard this weird walkie-talkie noise, and that's, like, up very much a part. Which, what weird walkie-talkie noise? Like, what the – anyways, maybe it was a weird dream. I don't know because there was
like,
no walkie-talkies anywhere.
Right, and what intruders, like, bringing a walkie-talkie into your house? Like, hey.
In 2016, too. Like, where the fuck is their cell phone? Why are they bringing on, like – or use your Apple Watch to fucking walkie-talkie back and forth.
12 owns a walkie-talkie.
Exactly.
Like, no.
They order a mistrial. And the defense lawyers argued that, you know, this would lead to more information. And they said all this stuff. But at the end of the day, there was no new testimony that was needed in the case. And they ruled the medical examiner's change in testimony sufficient enough to grant the mistrial. So they did grant the mistrial. However, he was still sentenced to prison later when he had his like actual trial. And state prosecutors said that there was enough evidence to support a murder conviction because he did not check on his wife the morning of her death. So they said it was typical for her to be up early when the killings happened and that Noah would have and should have known that his wife was up. And now if he would have checked for his wife, or been checking for his wife, I guess. I don't understand why that means that he murdered her, to be completely honest. Like, so if he had checked for her and didn't find her and still shot her at the top of the stairs, would that have been an accidental shooting? Like, I don't understand. Do you understand?
The only thing that I can think of that might be part of the reasoning behind
like, did they sleep in different rooms sometimes?
Well, if they had a two-year-old and if they're homeschooling, maybe they're more natural-minded. Maybe they did bed sharing and maybe they did sleep in different rooms. I think sometimes that happens.
Yeah, sometimes I pass out in Aurora's room or Roberta's
too.
Like, we'd
right.
just on the floor even, like, whatever.
For three
in the morning, my back aches. I'm,
right.
you know, slowly creeping down the stairs, you know.
And then you get shot because you're in a
And room. Then I get shot.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. But I think that the point is that maybe not that he didn't check on her in the morning, but maybe what they mean is he didn't yell out but why would they know that? Like, why would they know that he didn't do that? Maybe he said, I didn't. Yeah, I just shot. Like, or
why wasn't he worried about her? If a fucking intruder comes in the house and Roberto gets out the gun before he starts trying to find me to help me, are you fucking kidding me with us and our kids?
Yeah. Like,
Oh, you're right. I didn't even, my brain didn't go there. I was just like, I don't, this is a confusing fact. I don't understand why him not checking up on her means that personally, I think that he murdered her on purpose. I think it was not an accident. I agree that he should be in jail. But I didn't understand why that fact should have led me to believe it.
Right. Correct. But also thinking about, and we're going to talk about the autopsy, but thinking about pulling a gun out in the early mornings where it's not really that, like if my kids got up and came downstairs to get a drink of water, 6:17 in the morning is not like, oh gosh, this is unheard of. Like they would never be awake at this time.
You're right.
And your immediate reaction is to pull out a shotgun and...
You're right. Do you know the amount of times Roberto or Aurora has scared the ever-living fuck out of me? Because they'll go to open the... I've got dual doors to the bathroom. Yeah. And so when you open it, boom! Like, it's really loud if you do both. And Aurora's got no concept of other people are sleeping, so I should be fucking quiet. And she'll come from her room down to my bedroom to open up the doors. The amount of times that I've woken up and, like, to a boom and not grab the gun by my bed every day, friends, every day. Like, I would, at this point with children, I would get shot before I would shoot somebody else in my own defense because I would assume that it was the people that lived in my own home.
Right, because why wouldn't it be? Like, why would your immediate reaction be an intruder unless you live in a house that is often burgled?
Or you have PTSD. Let's not.
Maybe. Like, yeah, maybe. But and I mean, there are definitely reasons, but it just, it's, all of it is very suspect.
Yes.
So let's go over the autopsy. So this is in regards to the chief medical examiner who kind of
flubbed up. He said one thing and then he was like, no, I was wrong. But it was the angle in which she was shot that he changed. And I'm like, that doesn't – one go – what do you mean? How does that change? How does 90 degrees become 45 degrees? Like that's an angle and is an angle like – That doesn't make, did she get shot in the stomach or in the chest? Like that, how do you make a mistake like that?
Right. So he testified that he had always believed that the gunshot wound that killed Alicia hit her in the stomach at a downward angle. So that would kind of make sense if she's at the bottom of the steps and he's at the top of the steps, like a downward angle. Okay, I get that. At a 30 degree angle to be exact. So he... Obviously, as a chief medical examiner, he knows his stuff. He can tell what 30-degree angles are. I cannot. These findings are crucial in determining how far away Noah was from his wife when he shot and killed her.
Yeah, whether he was, like, point-blank next to her or whatever. Right. Because they're trying to, again...
It's far enough that he doesn't
realize she is... And they're trying to prove the intention behind it at this point. Like, whether it was criminal or accidental.
Right. So he testifies that his findings, such as the size of the gunshot wound, the buckshot spatter, which oof, I hate that, and a plastic cup from the shotgun shell, that it was lodged inside. He could tell all those things because of those things that were lodged inside of Alicia's body, usually occur when a person is close to an object that they're shooting. So he's saying she was close enough that those things stayed and the size and everything is figuring it out. Prosecutors said that blood was found at the top of the stairs and smeared along the wall, and Alicia's EBT card was found at the top of the stairs. However, Noah stood by his original statement that Alicia was towards the bottom or the middle of the staircase. If she gets to the bottom or the middle of the, she gets to the middle of the staircase.
Then you can see her eyeballs and you know who the fuck she is. How is she halfway down the stairs and you don't recognize your wife?
And we can't speak to her, so we can't say what she said or saw. But if I see my husband with a shotgun at the top of the steps, I am going to say, what are you doing? Stop doing that. I'm going to vocalize, hi, I'm here. And obviously he's not going to tell us those things, but.
Well, and again, like, even if she, for whatever, but no, he would have to know who she was at that point. Like, that's not, that just
unless
doesn't make any sense.
Right. Some serious eye vision issues. There should be no reason.
Exactly. So here are some other details that we also want to go over. So a man picked up Noah from the police station after he was questioned by the police. I guess that this was like an Uber driver or like a Lyft or something like that, some sort of public transportation. And so this man said that right after he picks Noah up from the police department, that he tells him exactly what happened that morning, or he told him the story of what he told the police that morning, that he shot and killed his wife. And Noah added that he, quote, had to tell the story that way if he wanted to see his kids again. So the dude was like, is there another story to tell? So Noah says no. There wasn't another story.
Well, of course you're
going to
say no, there's not another story to tell. But yeah. Why do you even say, like, well, if I ever want to see my kids again, I better lie?
He didn't say he had to lie. He said that that was what he had to say in order. Yes, exactly. In order to see his kids again. Yes. So the court described the slaying, because they call it a slaying. They call it the slaying of Alicia Gasson. And they say that it was completely unprovoked. It was impulsive. It was an impulsive act of domestic violence. And the big, like, flaming red flags is, did he shoot her at the top of the stairs, or did he shoot her at the top of the stairs or in the middle of the stairs? Because at one point in time, he said that she was at the top of the stairs, which would, to me, make sense, because as you go up, it gets darker, right? So it would seem at the top of the stairs, that would be where the darkest it is. You're telling me that he was upstairs and shot downstairs? Like, that to me seems even more odd that you would shoot into the first story of your home. Like where your kitchen is, where your front door is, where like a normal person would be. It would seem that if there was like, do you get, it seems like the second story to me would be less of a, I don't know, if you heard rumblings up there, maybe that would be less a, or more of a reason for concern than if you heard it at 6:20 in the morning from like the kitchen area. Like why wouldn't she be there? Getting lunch ready for the kids, or well, she homeschooled, so maybe getting breakfast ready, or it doesn't make any sense. And I think that allegedly he completely, this was on purpose. I think that they were having financial issues, and I think that he saw this as his way out. I think that he found out that she was going to leave him and decided that it would be better for him to murder her instead while their three children were home. That's what I think, allegedly.
There's so many theories that we could go into with this case, because I think this is way more common. This happens way more often in relationships than people are willing to admit. And it's usually, and I'm not saying that I think Noah is a stand-up dude or that he has a right to shoot his wife. But I think that in our country, there's so much of a stigma on now it's obviously getting better, but like, don't talk about your mental health. Shove it down. Don't do anything. You have to be strong. You have to do all these things. And now in comes this wife who is now becoming the breadwinner. She's finding ways to financially support them. He, from what I read, left his job, wasn't fired from his job. So for whatever reason, he quit a job that he was making income to go and, I guess, find a different one, but was having a struggle doing that. So maybe he feels emasculated.
Like, I'm so sorry, but you do what you have to do for your family. Every day my dad came home from work and he said he fucking hated work. For like 40 years, every day I'd be like, Dad, how was your day? And he was like, shitty. But thank you for asking, which is awful. I don't ever want anybody to every single day come home from work and say their job was shitty. But you know what? He never fucking quit his shitty ass job because he had two kids and a wife at home to help provide for.
Right. I am a firm believer in, if you have a job that you don't love, you should definitely find another job, because there's 100%. Probably a job out there for you. But you don't just quit with nothing else lined up. Whether you're, especially if you have a family, but even if it's just you supporting yourself, that's a dangerous place to put yourself in, friend. Make sure you have something else first before you leave.
Nice, cushy savings account to rely on. Roberto and I have both left jobs that we've hated just because we were like, fuck this place. We've actually done it with no prospects in sight, both of us, at different times. And everything worked out for us.
Right.
However, we had a 2-year nest egg that we were sitting on. like enough money to last us with our home and all of our bills paid for more than 2 years.
Right. So, and Roberto is a freak of nature and nobody has a 2 year nest egg. So that is not a
financial guru. Yeah.
He really is. He's like the miniature.
I don't understand.
But I could see she's stressed. She's upset. He doesn't have a job. She's maybe pointing fingers at him. He's pointing fingers back at her. He's feeling emasculated. He's feeling sad. He's feeling whatever. And people snap. And I do not think go talk to somebody, walk away, do those things. But my main question is not that he did it. I 100%.
Well, we know he did it.
No, he did it, but I 100%
he even said on purpose. Yes, he did it.
But I think it was on purpose. So I don't think there's a question of like, oh, it was an intruder. I think it was absolutely on purpose. But my question that I really want to understand is why? What was so awful and bad?
Life insurance?
That made you want to shoot her.
Yeah, but maybe.
But he didn't have a job, and it sounds like the job that she had wasn't really going to be providing life insurance. I mean, maybe they had something, but probably not. So I think for sure he did it on purpose. That's my verdict. But what is haunting me is the why. Like, what?
Did he just snap?
Do that. And knowing that your three kids are there and that's going to
traumatize
them for life, whether it was an accident or not, whether you're, if a parent dies, that's trauma, brother. I don't care how old you are.
And now you're going to have to move, which is probably like the least of your worries, but there's blood all over that house. You're never going to get clean again.
You're never going to get that stain out. But I mean, and who wants to stay in that house? Like, we covered that case, the Bird case, the Bird family.
Oh, my
family.
God, where they moved into,
and they
where
moved
Melanie
in and lived there.
Bird, yes. Yes. And the daughter moved into their bedroom and
yeah.
stayed in their bedroom where they died.
Yeah, I could not. So that's not for me. And I get it. Some people don't have that opportunity. That case was a particular, like, the house was, like, specifically
set
up for that
house.
Family.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you are going to have to move. You now have to find childcare for your child. Like, there's all these things that go into place.
He's
when
going to have a real hard time remembering all their birthdays at the fucking doctor's office.
Good luck. Hope you wrote it
good
down.
Good luck enrolling those little assholes in school
right.
all by yourself.
Right. Right. Or, like, anything. Finding the stuff that your partner usually covers. It's just there's so many questions. And
because if she was a homeschool mom, you know she was the fucking default parent. Like,
oh,
let's 100%. Be 100% honest. 100%. He knows not where a single thing is. He doesn't even know their favorite colors.
Probably not. Probably not. And also, I mean, it is always my question in cases like this when nobody comes forward and says, you're right, I did it, and this is why. It's like, but why? Like, what was the purpose? What was so bad that you, number one, shot her, and then number two, said it was an accident?
Yeah, and especially now because you're in jail. So, like,
yeah.
what are, I mean,
Check
I guess
up, yeah.
that would, like, if you said you did it, that would fuck with your parole or whatever.
I guess.
But then you could also say that you did it out of, like, a moment of, like,
crime
conscious.
Of passion. Yeah.
No, like, you're like, oh, no, I needed to get that off my chest because now I want to be a better person. And
So I did
murder her, and this is
yeah,
why.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, but I need to tell everybody as my 12-step program kind of situation to apologize to people. But, yeah, I don't know. This whole case is nutso. So thank you to the TikTokulars. Yeah, I hadn't heard this anywhere. This is not, yeah, a case that I don't think it's a very – well-known case at all.
Yeah, I don't either. And so thanks for bringing this to our attention. I love when we cover the cases that are, like, least covered, because I think especially people where, you know, the victims deserve to be, their story deserves to live on and deserves to be told. And it doesn't exactly bring justice, but I think information can help people for so many different reasons, whether that it gives somebody the confidence to leave, makes somebody think twice before they shoot their partner with a shotgun. I don't know. Like, but I think it's really important to see those things. So he was not convicted until 2019, and he has tried to appeal the case several times, and the court's not having it. His final sentence is 40 years. I mean,
I don't think that's enough because you can get, because then it can go down to 20 because for each like day that you serve or something like that. I don't think
in,
that that's
like,
enough.
Good, yeah, it's like in good with your good behavior. And if overcrowding comes, there's just a lot of reasons why they could be let go early. But I do know that it doesn't seem like they're budging on his conviction. So that's good, I guess. But I hope that those kids have a good support system and that they're being
taken. I just did a little quick searchy search. We might be the only podcast that's covered this case.
Whoa! So you heard it here first, folks.
Bam.
Kidding. But thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for your suggestions. Please keep them coming. We're always looking for new and unknown or interesting cases to cover. And we will be back next week with another true crime case. Who knows what it's going to be? It'll be a surprise.
I think we have a special guest next time, actually.
Dun, dun, dun. It'll be so great.
Or not. Fucking come back and you see we'll have something and we will be here. It will be too, and we'll see what happens together.
Yes, and as of recently, a couple of weeks ago, we started releasing our episodes on Tuesdays instead of Sundays. Yay. And so let us know how you feel about that, if you have any feelings about that, or if you don't. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Welcome to the shit show. Have a great week. Be calm. Take a deep breath. And we will talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.